All right, week and a half till Christmas. We talk about the joy of the Lord today. I've had that joy for a month now. I know I was the only one doing a countdown in here, and I have no shame about that. So, just saying. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And my dad started in May. the face that I'm a genius. But what we're going to be talking about today is joy, as all of these things lead into the Advent season. So the first week, we talked about peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding that we really want to experience in the Christmas season, remembering who Jesus is, that he was born for us, experiencing that peace that he can give us. And then we talked about hope, the hope that comes from Jesus alone, the hope that we see for the world in Jesus Christ, and the hope that we can experience in our daily lives, not just a one-time, oh, I hope this is going to go well, I hope for anything, but true hope, because we don't know what's on the other side. And then today we're going to be talking about joy, and the scripture that we're going to be looking at is Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. So verse 2. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes in king's palaces? Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when we talk about joy, it's a very interesting topic, because a lot of the time we hear just preachers or anybody say, talking about this magical thing that just comes down from God, and they don't explain it. Does that make sense? They just say, "You have the joy of God, now go out and do it." You have the joy of when you're saved, the joy of the Holy Spirit that is supernatural, and they just go from there. Which, that's all true, but what I want to look today is just an example of that in John the Baptist. So as we've talked before, John is the one who's preparing the way for Jesus. You see, it was written that a man was going to come preparing everybody, that he's going to baptize with water, but Jesus will baptize by fire. That's what Jesus said. John was just getting things ready. He had already had that joy of the Lord. He was one of the first ones to really experience the joy of the Holy Spirit, because he was preparing the way. And before we dive into the scripture here and really dissecting it, let's think of how this applies to us. Because we focused on John the Baptist a lot and everything like that with the Christmas season, because that's really kind of preparing ourselves for the story of Christ's birth. And I've probably mentioned this before, but we have to see where we place ourselves in the scripture that was written 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. How can we prepare the way for the joy of the Lord that is going to be coming? That's already here in us. Mm-hmm. Like Herb was saying, go out in the community, but also showing the love like John shows here. Because in this little thing, what I have is called the Cheater's Bible, is what I like to call it. Little dissecting parts of the verse and everything like that really go in. I like all that stuff because it gives background behind the text. But one thing right here in verse 2, Saint John's question here may reflect confusion over the Messiah's role. If, like many Jews, John was expecting a political Messiah who would overthrow the Romans, his imprisonment may have caused him to wonder why Jesus wasn't taking action. Jesus responded by clarifying the kind of kingdom he had come to establish. A kingdom that would bring healing, liberation, and good news, but not necessary political power. Now, what I think is very important is to talk about this part, because our nation is going through some very troubling times politically right now. And I don't like to bring politics into sermons. I don't believe that's the right thing to do. We need to focus on what Jesus says, not what the politics say. But I think this really applies when it comes to the joy of the Lord because of what's happening with our presidency right now. And we're not going to go into what is exactly happening, but it's just an example of understanding where we really need the joy in our lives to get through these things, these times of uncertainty of what's going to happen next. So, really, when we ask how do we prepare the way when we go out in the community, how are we acting like John the Baptist here? Do we start to really wonder if the Jesus that we talk about to others, if he's bringing political power, like they're saying here in the Bible, that's what a lot of the Jews wanted because they were under extreme oppression from the Romans? Or do we speak about the Jesus of love, the Jesus of healing, the man who gave the blind sight? So John, in verse 2, sends his disciples to make sure this is the guy. He's making sure this is the guy I'm preparing the way for. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? I find that phrasing really interesting, because I find myself in that position a lot. And I really used to struggle with that in my high school years, and really the start of college too, discerning my calling. Are you the one who is to come, or in our case, has already come and lives among us today? Or do we need to wait for something else? This one's more rhetorical because I don't want to call anybody out. And I'm not going to because I don't know necessarily everyone's personal spiritual walks today. But do you find yourself asking Jesus that a lot? Because when it comes to joy, my personality is the kind where I always want to experience it. And if I felt like I wasn't experiencing it, I was doing something wrong. In that case, was it the legit thing? Because I would then ask, God, I'm not experiencing this joy, so is this really what you're talking about? Is this it? What am I doing here? But that's not true. One thing I found about joy, true joy from the Lord, and really when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, because a lot of the time we have it very feelings-based where we think we have to feel something to know that we still are going on the right path. True joy of the Lord is having certainty in two things: the identity of Christ, knowing that he is the Savior, that he is real, he is the one who was to come, he is the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then it's having peace of knowing everything is okay where it's at, that we don't always have to feel an emotion. That's what true joy is, because joy leads to peace and leads to hope. And then vice versa, hope leads to peace, leads to joy, or joy, I just said Joyce, excuse me. But really, That's what it's trying to say right there. Verse 4, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Now, knowing myself being a smart aleck, I sometimes read Jesus responding in smart aleck ways. For example, like when he's saying in verse 4, with my sense of humor, he's like, "Oh, you really want to do this? You really want to question me? Like, you really want to throw down right now?" Now, Jesus being the ultimate show of love, that's not what he's really doing, but that's how I connect it with myself. "But the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor." You see, we know this joy, we receive it by asking God, by asking Jesus into our lives, like I've said many times before. But then we also see it because it's written right here in the Word. Jesus did all of these things. One, to show his love to others, and to show that he is who he was talking about. This is how we see the joy of the Lord acting out. By Jesus having this joy, he spread those gifts to others. It's like when you see a new movie or read a new book. You can't stop talking about it, you know? I remember when I first saw Star Wars, I could not stop talking about it. I still cannot stop talking about it. I read these books called the Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Did you guys ever read those in school? Yeah. Amazing. It's like about, what it is kind of like brings the Greek gods, a fictional character of the Greek gods, coming into the life today, how that would work in our daily in life today. And I thought it was so cool because I love mythology and everything like that. And I was telling everyone about it nonstop because of the passion that I had for those books. So then when it comes to joy, that was just a little experience of it. Because the only way we can experience true joy is by having Jesus in our hearts. By asking him to come in. Because he was already born for us. He's presented himself. "I'm here. I was born for you. Just let me in. I want to get to know you." That's one example of the joy. Verse 7, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." So what it's talking about, Jesus is asking them, why did you go out to see? Did you go out for all the splendor of a king? Well, they couldn't have because John the Baptist literally dressed in the nastiest clothing. Animal skin, rags, whatever he could find because he lived out in the wild, just baptizing people by the river, proclaiming the news of Jesus about to come. And it really kind of points, because a lot of the people were expecting Jesus to be a political power. They were expecting him to start this revolution, bring Israel back to its glory days of economic power, success, everything. But the way I read these parts right here, the way he does this active questioning technique here, it's what like a lot of teachers do. You do that a lot, I know. He's really diving in to show them they weren't necessarily looking for that. They were looking for something else. They were looking for fulfillment, for identity, for love, because He's out preaching to the poor, the people who need to to be shown that they are loved. And not just the poor in economic health, but we call it the spiritually poor too. Would we say today that any of us are spiritually poor? That we need more of what Jesus has to offer? I'll be the first to admit it. I always need more of what Jesus has to offer. Because he's the only thing that is enough. Not the things that we buy at Christmas, even though the new video games are pretty amazing. Not the new toys. I remember when I was a little kid, I wanted this toy motorcycle so bad. It was one of those little Tykes cars, you know, with the, like those electric powered ones. I ended up getting a tractor because I put down the wrong thing on my wish list. It's okay. Not mad about it still. But, you know. But that's what I thought would bring me joy. And I still am guilty. The next new iPhone, because mine's running slow right now. The next new video game, Jedi Fallen Order, which was amazing. The next new something is going to bring me joy. That's not how it works. It is not possible to get fulfillment out of material things. I firmly believe it is not possible because we as humans always want the next thing. We always want something bigger. So let's say with money. For me right now, that's a struggle because just finished college. I got nothing. Everything here goes in the savings because I got to prepare for that next part. But naturally, I'm like, I want to go spend it on food. I want to go spend it on video games. I want more. Does that connect with anybody here? We want more. You see, Jesus is pointing out these fine material things, not just giving a metaphor about John, but giving a metaphor of what we were really looking for all along. And we just didn't even realize it. You're looking for the joy that comes from Jesus Christ. Goes on to say, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Let's hold up here. We're just talking about how we're seeking this fulfillment in Jesus with this joy. But then he goes on to say, even though we are children of the king, that John the Baptist is greater, but who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist is. What does that even mean? Jesus, what are you saying? You just said I'm not looking for these material things and that we don't exalt others above you. But what's going on? That's not what he's saying. We've talked about it before many times of going out and loving the community, loving the least, the last, and the lost. That's what church is for. My favorite my favorite saying is church isn't for the healthy. It's for the sick. It's like a hospital. You don't go to the hospital if you're healthy. You go if you need something. If you need repairs, if you need something new. You see, Jesus is talking about right here, as he says time and time again, the least and the last and the lost are the greatest in heaven. He's speaking to the poor. He came to save all of us. He came to save everyone. He came for everyone to spread that joy. But where he really gives that joy are the poor. And again, not just the financially poor. Those who are poor spiritually. Now, I know for a fact people cannot change other people. Only Jesus can do that. Amen? God is the only thing that can change something. Bless you. So then, where this week can we give the joy? Who do we know, whether it be ourselves or our friends, family, colleagues, who is spiritually poor this week? I know for me, it's always going to be a daily battle, because a walk with Jesus is a daily walk, not just a one-time thing. So then, two things that I challenge you this week. And I'm doing this for me too. This is something that I've started for Christmas season. Start by trying to fulfill yourself in Jesus. Find that joy. Ask Jesus, ask God, ask the Holy Spirit for the joy that we get. Because this is not just simply lighting candles. This is representing lighting the fire that comes from Jesus, the Holy Spirit fire that comes from Jesus. So ask for fulfillment of that joy if you need it. I know I do. Then secondly, give that joy to someone else. I know I challenge every week to go give it to someone else. And you're probably thinking it's just the same thing he's saying every week. But that's the key to the gospel, because that is exactly what Jesus did. So let's go out this week and find someone to give that joy to. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.